This week, I'm not sure if you saw it, but I saw a little bit of the Scripps National Spelling Bee, and I saw 13 and 14-year-olds, 7th and 8th graders, from all over the country coming together, and it was such a diverse gathering. It was powerful, powerful. And they came together in Washington, D.C., and they put these words in front of them that were just amazing, things I have never heard of, and that I had a hard time even discerning the pronunciation by hearing it, much less then telling someone what the letters were that were in it. It was astounding. The students get up to the mic, and as they come up, they're able to ask a few questions. They say a word to them, and they're able to ask a few questions. They can ask for a definition, and so they'll give a definition. They can ask for a parts of speech, so they'll learn it's a noun or it's an adverb. They can even ask to have it used in a sentence, and so they'll use the word in a sentence. And sometimes you get the impression maybe the student is choosing some time, to giving some contemplation time, but also each of these questions really hones in on what the possibilities are for this word. And one of the most revealing questions they can possibly ask is, what is its etymology? What is the language of origin? And so sometimes they'll say it's German, and then they'll talk about how it progressed through different languages. And it's amazing that just hearing that, say if it's French, they'll know that the O sound may have an E-A-U combination as opposed to something that was Greek. And so it's an amazing thing to watch these young children spell these words. And so I thought that you and I would share in this a little bit this morning. And so I have a couple words here. Here's one for you. Well, before you put it up, okay. Iliopsoas. Iliopsoas. Can you spell it? I know you just saw it, but I-L-I-O-P-S-O-A-S. I never would have known that. Now, maybe some of you have even heard of this. This is a muscle somewhere that does something. I'm not sure what. But I can't pronounce the kind of muscle it is, so we'll leave it at that. Now, there's another one here. Wisachi. Wisachi. And this is how it's spelled. H-U-I-S-A-C-H-E. And, you know, you can ask to have it in a definition. You can ask for a sentence. And I thought that I would maybe put it in a sentence for us. She was 35 years old, but we thought she was 30. But I was wrong, because this is a shrub. It's an acacia shrub in the southern United States. And but then there's another one. It's Oelad. 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 O-E-I-L-L-A-D-E. And so I like to think of this as, you know, I could use this word in the context that I still owe a lot on my house. But this is not talking about money, or it's talking about a glance of the eye. A glance of the eye. And then one final one is carefully. Sounds obvious? Carefully? Carefully. And so the sentence I would use there is, when you take the steps out of the baptismal, do it carefully. But it's actually a mild white friable cheese of Welsh origin. And so what this really reveals to us is it reveals the very major distinction between knowing words and knowing how to use the words. For my life and the sentences I use, but also in the context of knowing a word and knowing the content of a word. And when we look at the gospel, we always see cases of knowing the word, but then knowing the word, don't we? Knowing the words, but knowing the word, knowing the message, knowing the word, but knowing the word itself. What a distinction. And one of the distinctions that we see that is so stark is the impression that the disciples leave before Pentecost and after Pentecost. Before Pentecost,
Jesus has died. Jesus has risen. He has taught them. They know Him. They know everything that He's taught them. They know what He's challenged them to welcome this kingdom. And yet, they knowing the gospel, it didn't really have root in their life. They didn't quite know how to use the word. And then something happened at Pentecost, and we talked about it in our divine dialogue at the beginning of the service, that as they were there in one accord on this Jewish holiday, 50 days celebrating the Exodus, when the people were at Mount Sinai and God delivered the law on the mountaintop. And I was just reading this passage yesterday in Exodus, because it says God descended in fire right there. And we hear it again here, that Jesus' disciples were told to, after His resurrection, remain. 50 days later, they're of one accord in one place, and God descends in fire again. And this time, it was not the words that fell on their hearts. It was the word that sunk into their heart. It was the Spirit that they caught. It was not just the words. It was the Spirit of the Word that got inside of them. And where at one time the disciples before Pentecost seemed to know the word, but they were still confused and they were aimless, that they were uncertain about what this meant for them and how to live their lives, that after Pentecost, after receiving the presence of the Spirit, there was no more uncertainty. They knew the word and they knew how to speak the word. They knew how to use it in sentences. They knew how to tell it and proclaim it and share it with the world. And that is so incredibly powerful, because the disciples were completely different after Pentecost. They knew the story of Jesus' death and resurrection prior, but at Pentecost, they knew the story of Jesus' death and resurrection. No longer did they merely know the story, but their lives took on meaning in the story, and the subject of the message lived in their hearts and empowered them for service. That's what we're called to in our lives. Don't just know the words. Know the Word. Don't just know how to use the Word in a sentence even, but let the Word move you in your life. Let it have meaning and content for how it shapes the world around us. It's powerful. And that's what we baptize people into today. We baptize people not just in the tub. We don't even merely baptize in water. We baptize. We saturate in the Spirit-filled community of Christ. Don't just know the words, know the Word. As Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. That was his message after Pentecost. This is good news. Amen. Know the Word.
We have a wonderful opportunity coming up this week, and I'm proud that our church is sending 14 students to teen camp. And I would like for those students to go ahead and come up here and join me. And not even down there. I mean, I want you up here. You guys are young enough to climb stairs. So come on up and just gather around. And one of the things that we want to do is we want to pray. Go ahead and get in a big line here. Awesome. Good. And if you will, one of the things that we are challenged to do, thank you, Cindy, is we are challenged to pray. You know what we believe? We believe that the reason that we're sending you is because we have confidence, first of all, in God. We have confidence in God to move in your life and to do amazing things. And the second reason is because we have confidence in you. We believe in you. And we believe that you're a significant part of God's plan. And so we send you with our prayers. And so what I'd like to do before we pray is, if each one of you, all you got to do is say your name and your age. And then if you'll step back, because we want to have names with it. Some of y'all our folk aren't familiar with, and this gives us an opportunity to know you. Cindy, you can start. You don't have to do the age, but if you'll say,
I'm Cindy Stotts, and I am the NYI leader.
I'm Ashley
Hoffman,
I'm 16.
I'm Catherine Stotts, I'm 16.
My name is Mark Smith, I'm 14.
I'm Brian Hoffner, I'm 18.
I'm Ian Kamara, 15.
I'm Christy Ann, 13.
I'm Lauren Stewart, and I'm 16.
I'm Daniel Wolf, and I'm 16.
I'm Marley Hoffner,
I'm 12. I'm Lauren Wright, I'm 15.
Awesome. Amen. And I'd like for us to have prayer with them. Let's pray right now. Father, we thank you for this beautiful group of kids, of young adults. We thank you, God, for this opportunity, because that's what it is. We thank you, Father, for the traveling and the journey that they'll go on and the beautiful times that they'll have and the stories and the laughter that they'll share. And we thank you, Father, for where they are going, because we believe that it is a place set apart for blessing young people. And I pray that you bless Rick Pearson, the director. I pray that you bless Cindy as she goes along and the other chaperones and adult sponsors who will nurture and care for and give guidance. And we ask, God, that you'll bless each and every youth and teen. May you be speaking in their hearts, sharing a word that they can discern is uniquely for them. So may they have traveling protection, and may they come away being changed from how they went. We thank you, Father, because we know that your Spirit moves throughout the world, and it's not just something that we can have confidence here in the sanctuary, but on the road and going, and wherever we find ourselves ending up, there you are waiting for us. God bless them as they go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.